Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All righty, we're back, and there's some things happening in Nigeria that we really you should really know about, so go ahead and take it away.
Ryan, what is going on in Nigeria?
It is indeed a massacre, and it needs more attention. It's devastating and unthinkable what's happening to the Christian community across the Middle Belt and the northern region of Nigeria. And I've been in the field with believers there and seeing firsthand what is happening across that region, which, again, it's hard to wrap our minds around, but it's happening every day. And again, we just had an attack over the past week on Palm Sunday as well, too, that was devastating.
So can you give me some examples of maybe what's happening on the ground?
Yeah, so there's a number of different Islamic extremist groups. It could be Boko Haram, Fulani militants who've been radicalized, Islamic State of West Africa Province, another kind of Al-Qaeda spinoff. And these are all kind of pushing through Christian communities in the northern region, attacking at night. They kind of go through the same protocol: attack, abduct, rape, force marriages, take over communities, and force thousands of Christians that have been in those communities for decades to leave and be forced to go to IDP camps and find help and be basically put in a situation where they're completely vulnerable and left with nothing because of their faith in Jesus.
So, Brian, why is the media silent? This sounds like the most unimaginable atrocities being, happening in real time. And no one seems to not only care, but be reporting on it. I mean, it's literally radio silence. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, I think there's two reasons. And one is basically because the news media today rolls through with what people care about. And people are not clicking on those stories. People are not engaging with what's happening in Africa today. And they're so distant, it feels so distant. And the second part is, like, there's conflict. Many media outlets feel like, hey, this is not a religious conflict. It's a socioeconomic or it's a ethnic conflict. But from our context in the field, from seeing it firsthand, it is a targeted religious persecution that's happening across the Middle Belt in the northern region of Nigeria to wipe out Christians and replace their communities with Islamic communities.
See, that'd be the pushback. I'm sure that, you know, some people in the comments will say, oh, this is a land dispute, or in the Democratic Republic of Congo, this is about rare earth minerals. And is it mutually exclusive? Can it be both of those things at the same time?
Yeah, and I would say this, there are a number of factors. So it is a complex situation, but at the core, the people that we talk to, and again, firsthand testimonies of believers that I've spoken with who've been abducted by Boko Haram, have been, you know, had guns held to their heads to ask them to deny Christ and to convert to Islam. In fact, spending time with Suzanne, a wonderful woman who was shot in the temple and left for dead, and now miraculously survived, but has lost her eyes and still has incredible faith, but she was unwilling to deny Christ. And that's happening time and time again across the Christian communities.
Wow. I got chills. I think this is such an overwhelming story. And my friend here wants to do something, but feels totally powerless. So how can we help our Christian brothers and sisters in Nigeria?
Yeah, it's to just be willing to step into their stories. Read the stories from outlets like Global Christian Relief. There's many of others out there covering the stories. You have to look to find them, but enter and engage the stories. Pray for your persecuted family. I mean, a great time during this Holy Week, too, is to remember the suffering of Christ, but also remember and pray for the church who is still suffering for his name today, like those in Nigeria. So I encourage you, you know, prayer is paramount, but then also to give. I mean, these believers are left with next to nothing. Need food, need income generation projects, need shelter, need medical units as well, too. So there's so many needs that we can pour into. So I would just say make that part of your DNA as a believer to make this story something worth caring about. Share it with neighbors, friends, churches. But it's up to us to lift the story up because the media is not doing it.
So, Brian, as the CEO of Global Christian Relief, since I have you, maybe one last question. Is what's happening in Nigeria to Christians an anomaly? Or is Christian persecution around the world something that we should be aware of?
It's sadly to say, it is. Persecution has been increasing really since 2014, a number of incidents from Modi taking power, ISIS spreading through sub-Saharan Africa.
It's the Prime Minister of India.
Yeah, Modi, the Prime Minister of India. So many things that we've seen over the last decade that have increased Christian persecution around the world. We're seeing it happen in violence in sub-Saharan Africa and places like Nigeria, but we're seeing discrimination, laws, you mean like blasphemy laws and anti-conversion laws across Asia, and it's rising and increasing. We have to open our eyes to see it.
Brian, thank you so much, my friend. Your work is so important. God bless.
All righty. One of the things, folks, you can do, you can pray for those brothers and sisters, and look at any time, we can support them there in Nigeria. We need to do that. I mean, it's however we can support them there. Going back to that article before we went to the break, did you know that there was 37,938 loans, the COVID loans given up under Biden from the SBA, where they knew that these people that were who were taking out these loans were not eligible to take out these loans, but they give it to them anyhow under Biden. There was nothing under that Biden regime that was not corrupt, was there? Can you think of, Pastor Al, can you think of anything under the Biden regime that was not corrupt?
No, I can't.
No. Now, you know that there's a new pope, right? And
right.
Lou Prevost. But the new pope, he has a brother. And this brother, he's a very, very conservative, okay? And the leftists, the communists, are having a meltdown because his brother shared a video calling Nancy Pelosi he really exposed her. He called her a drunk in some words I can't use on the air here. But the far-left media and their allies in the Democratic Party are full of panic after it was revealed that Lou Prevost, the straight-shooting Florida brother of the newly elected American Pope Leo, isn't just a Catholic. He's unapologetically a MAGA, a MAGA. Prevost, a Port Charlotte, Florida native, lives his life like many forgotten Americans with faith, freedom, and the First Amendment. But now, after his younger brother ascended to the papacy as Pope, the leftist media mob is frantically digging through Lou's Facebook page, looking for anything to cancel him over, and they think they found pure gold because what he did with Nancy Pelosi. What they found instead was a red-blooded American patriot telling it like it is, and it's absolutely glorious. Lou Prevost shared a video of liberal support group for those suffering from Trump derangement syndrome with the caption, "For my upset, crying, and left-leaning friends and others suffering from Trump derangement syndrome, this service seems right for you." But it gets better, or worse, if you're Nancy Pelosi. On April 4th, Prevost reposted a video of a younger Pelosi arguing for tariffs. Oh, we played that here, right here, on this program. And then he goes on to say, the original post didn't hold back. These fling liberals crying about tariffs is just unreal. They do not know that there is a thing called video. Just listen to what this drunk, I can't use that word, has to say in the middle of the 90s, long before her husband had grinder dates. So anyhow, he goes and he's got Nancy. We played the clips of her arguing and arguing in favor of the tariffs. Of course, they're doing exactly the opposite of that now because of Trump. Anyhow, you know what I think we're going to do? I think we should open the phone lines and take some calls. What do you guys think?
Let's do it.
All right.
Let's do it.
Trump earthquake hits drug pricing worldwide. Americans now to get a fair deal. We talked about that earlier. The economic earthquake that is known as President Donald Trump on Monday hit the pharmaceutical industry worldwide, and the end result will be the Americans soon will be paying the same for drugs as the best deal being offered to any customers worldwide. Well, after all of this time, okay, I don't know, you know, I mean, I'm not in favor of buying drugs at all, and I'm not really happy with drugs. You know, I like natural. But the thing of it is, for people that have to buy them or feel they have to buy them, why should they have to pay? Why should us Americans have to pay 10 times what everybody else pays? I mean, these Democrats really hate Americans. And do you know what? Over, 54% of registered Democrats said that they're ashamed of America. But you know what is even a higher amount of in the next poll? About 100% of conservatives said they're ashamed of Democrats.
So, amen.
Yeah, there you go. I think we're winning on that one. Phone lines are open at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, anti-Trump governor scheduled briefings on National Guard protections in deployment. In other words, the Communist Party, the Democratic Communist Party, these governors like that one out there in Illinois, that guy is a real crackpot. I mean, he is a bad one, like the one there in New York and the one in Washington. But anyhow, they're getting together to see how they can try to keep President Trump from deploying the National Guard when they start burning cities down and things. And so, I mean, this is, you know, remember what they charged the January 6ers, the Patriots, with? And, I mean, what they're doing, is it not treason? It's treason. 888-677-9673. The phone lines are open now. Who do we have there?
We have Adam in Massachusetts.
Okay, let's go out to Massachusetts. That's communist country. Hey, Adam.
Yes. Hello, Pastor Ernie. Yeah, I just, last week you had a call from a veteran who was seeking medical help. Because he was in real poor health. According to him, he was saying that he wasn't able to get help through normal sources, and that he wasn't able to either urinate or defecate. And when I think about that, it kind of puts him like in a real health emergency situation.
Yeah.
And he said he was a regular listener. So just in case he is listening tonight, it might be good for him to consider just going into the emergency room of the nearest hospital that is near him and just seek the help, you know.
Well,
I just wanted to put that out there.
You would think that, you would hope it anyhow, in most states that they would do that. They would treat you in there if you do that. But nowadays, you don't know. And I know that he was saying he was a veteran and he wasn't getting any help from the VA. Well,
right. Yeah, it was running into red tape and this sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the VA is the one place where, you know, with a phone call, if you call in there, I mean, because you know, most of your VAs where you go to, they have a big sign up there. If you're not getting attention right away, you know, within 15 minutes, go to this desk, that'll be, they'll remedy that. And, I've noticed something since now President Trump is in. The efficiency there at the VA is greater. The attitudes, the morale seems to be way up, even though they're going to cut like 20,000, employees from out of the VA, their attitudes I've noticed seems to be a lot. The morale is a lot higher there, and I think the treatment you're going to be getting is a lot better now too under Trump.
So yeah, that would be good. Yeah. So I just wanted to put that out and thank you for all the service that you do.
Well, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for those kind words. Alrighty. You know what we got to do? I get to first on a daily schedule, a coalition of Democratic governors resisting the Trump administration schedule at least two Zoom discussions focused on how to avoid assisting National Guard protections and deployments, according to the email. In other words, we got to resist them so the Democrats can burn the cities down. But here's the thing. They're the ones that live in the cities. But then again, these are Democrats, huh? So, I guess, what would you expect? I mean, they're not real logical, are they?
Looney Tunes.
Alrighty. Okay. Who do we have?
We have Matthew in Texas.
Okay, we're going to go out to Texas with Matthew. Hey, Matthew, you're in the air.
Hello, Pastor Ernie. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. How are you, my friend?
Pretty good, sir. My question is, with Trump's tariffs and everything and the, opening up of the oil industry and everything, do you think we'll have prices get back down to a reasonable measure for us?
Trump says he's shooting to get down to $2 a gallon gasoline. That's his goal.
I got it for $2.88 today.
Okay, well, there you go. Style got it for $2.88 today, so he doesn't have.
Okay.
I remember when it was hitting $4 a gallon here, and so that means that out there in California, it had to be up to about $7 a gallon. And what's the highest?
Yeah, we've been averaging about $2.70 or so a gallon in our area, but that was about the same price when Biden left office, but I do think the prices are going to go down soon, hopefully.
Yeah, I do too. They've already gone down on a lot of other things, especially eggs. You know, we kept hearing about eggs. And not only that, but the unemployment or the inflation rate. The inflation rate now is down to the lowest it's been in a long, long time. And so that is good news there. So, yeah, the economy's getting better, and Trump going all over making these deals, with all of these countries, these trade deals, that can do nothing but help our economy.
Yes, sir, I agree.
And, even with China, with a few exceptions, they brought it down from, what was it, 145% down to 10 in China. I mean, to work out a deal like that, now as long as they keep the deals, but China is an expert, where it comes to finding ways of cheating. I mean, they really know how to cheat on things, and so that's just a part of their culture there. So, but anyhow,
I did see they signed a deal with the Saudis today for, I think it was $700 billion of investments and things in America. So hopefully that helps too.
Oh, all of that will help. All of that, it's going to help our economy. It's going to put people back to work, those that have been out. Now, we got to watch. We can't let the Democrats hit us with any more COVID things. And
oh,
you know,
yeah. I know. The last 4 years were terrible under Biden, and I think everybody felt that. So,
yeah,
we got a good president. I think we're going to move in the right direction. We just got to give him time to get everything worked out, I think.
Yeah, yeah. There were some people complaining today that things weren't moving fast enough. I've never seen in my lifetime a president move as fast as this guy's done, and is accomplished as much as he's accomplished in the time he's been in office there. And so,
oh yeah, I think he's doing a good job so far, and especially the border being secured. That was one of the biggest issues that most of us had, I think.
I think the number one issue he should have right now is finding the 300,000 children, what happened to them. I think that should be top priority, priority one. We know the Democrats got them, and, you know, we know what happened to them, but we want to find out where they're at, those that are still alive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree. We got to figure out what's been going on for the last 4 years and get it worked out. So.
All righty. Well, I thank you very much for calling.
All right.
Okay. We have they made a violent scene, the Democrats, caught in ICE facility mayhem. Well, we've been watching this on television, and you saw that one really chubby congresswoman in the red dress. She was belly slamming. She thought she was one of those professional wrestlers or something. She was belly slamming one of the female ICE agents. And let me see. Democrats, New Jersey reps Bob Menendez Jr., LaMonica McLever fully blamed U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement ICE agents Sunday on CNN for the chaos that unfolded at a detention facility, claiming that the law enforcement created the situation. Well, on Friday, Melendez Jr. and McLever and Representative Bonnie Watson Coleman were at the Delaney Detention Hall in Newark when Democrat Newark Mayor Ras Baraka had been arrested after the Department of Homeland Security accused them of storming the gate as a detention bus attempted to enter. While discussing their side of the story on State of the Union, CNN host Dana Bash asked McLever if she had body slammed. That's the one who did it. She's the fat woman in the red outfit that body slammed an officer, and she denied it, even though, of course, he's going to deny it, even though you have it on camera right there when it's being shown over and over and over and over. And I don't know, what's the definition of what's your definition of insurrection, Pastor Hal?
Insurrection is where you're revolting against the lawful government, and when the government's trying to do something for the American people.
What do you think, Style?
That sounds pretty spot on to me.
Yep, that's exactly what they're doing. Now, here's something that's happening. President Trump is starting to doubt Ukraine will make a deal with Putin. It was just, now this here was Sunday, but now it was just announced today that Putin is going to sit down with Zelensky, and that Trump may join the two of them. That Trump said he's willing to sit in with them if they ask him. But they have agreed to have a meeting. That would be a very good thing, because altogether over a million people have lost their lives in it. This is a totally useless war, huh? So, you know, let's hope that happens. All righty, 888-677-9673. The phone lines are open. Trump says President Putin of Russia doesn't want to have a ceasefire agreement with Ukraine, but rather wants to meet on Thursday in Turkey to negotiate possible end to the bloodbath, Trump said on Truth Social. Well, I guess, you know what? They did have a ceasefire when, what happened? When Trump, something took place and they honored it by having a ceasefire. So, you know, that's good news anyhow, right? Okay.
Well, you know, Pastor, Zelensky over there has been making an untold amount of money off the fighting and stuff that's going on from foreign aid. And it might be that if he does get the peace that President Trump wants him to do, that the funds will quit coming in. And that could be an aspect of this whole thing. While it seems like he really doesn't want the peace. There's always something that starts back up again with him.
Well, Trump signed a deal with Zelensky over rare earth minerals. And Putin, he contacted Trump and said, look, you know, we have rare earth minerals too. How about signing a deal with us? And, of course, I don't know, you know, what Trump knows, but that might be a good bargaining point. I mean, free trade always helps, right? Free trade always, you know, that helps you keep people out of wars, which is a very good thing in itself, isn't it? So.
Yeah, but there's a lot of nations to make money off of those wars.
Yeah, well, you know, the rare earth minerals and that, as long as they're mined in a decent humanitarian way, and not having, you know, the way some of them are, where you're having children out there digging up cobalt, you know.
Right.
I don't know, it seems like sometimes people just are totally void of common sense, right?
Well, when it don't make sense, there's usually a buck in it.
Yeah. Who do we have there?
First, we have Jeremy in North Texas. He's a first-time caller.
Wow, a first-time caller. Hey, Jeremy.
Hello?
Yep, you're in the air. Go ahead. Are you there? Do you have a question or comment? Jeremy? Hello, Jer. Boy, that was a short first-time caller.
Yes, sir. I'm here.
All righty. Well, congratulations for being a first-time caller.
First time, long time. I, myself, employed business owner, and you're on 100.7, which I keep on my truck all the time, and I am a man of God, and I try to listen to Scripture all I can, and I listen to you on the way home, and it's just a relief to hear someone that is a Christian, that and believes in what I believe in, and I think most Americans do, is let's get this country on the right track. And it's a pleasure to talk to you, sir.
Well, thank you so much for those kind words, and the pleasure is mine to talk to a patriot and someone who loves God and country. And boy, there's sometimes it seems like there's fewer of us, but then at other times, you know, it's an interesting thing, but believe it or not, just recently, church attendance is picking up in this country, where it's been going down and down for the last 4 years. Church attendance have been dropping off, but now it's picking up in this country. And do you know who is leading that? It's young men. Young men are leading. They're the ones that are leading the, pickup in church attendance. And that's a very good thing, isn't it?
Yes, sir. In our small church, we've seen new people come in from time to time. And yes, it is growing. And I truthfully believe in what you're saying there for sure. I wanted your thoughts on the end of days as far as what we're seeing throughout the world. I don't think it's here yet. But then I see things and I just, I read the Bible and you know, I'm in the scripture and, but sometimes I was like, yeah, well, this doesn't really fit the mold. But then sometimes I see things that, you know, I do. And it's, so I just wanted your opinion on, you know, how you think, how close we are to that.
Well, you hang tight, and I'm gonna think on that for a minute because we're up against the break, but I'll answer that right after this.
Read his words, heed his signs. Can't you see these are the times? Earthquakes, famines, and pestilence are all on the rise. The love of man waxing cold, just like the way that he foretold. With all these things now happening before our eyes, can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings? Rid up your minds to be believing. Prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings. When he comes in the clouds, each and every fire will flash as lightning shines from east to west. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings? Rid up your minds to be believing. Prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Our Savior and Deliverer and Redeemer, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, El Shaddai, Yahshua, hallelujah. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings? Rid up your minds to be believing. Prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings and Lord of Lords and King of Kings and Lord of Lords and King of Kings.
All right, we're back. And caller, that song kind of answered the question you have. Because of all the things that we're seeing here today, you know, you say, well, there's always been certain elements, you know, throughout history, but not like they are today. There's things happening today that's never happened, and to the intensity that we're seeing today. So we know that the time could be at hand. It could be even at the doorstep when the Lord's return, because just think about how, well, when we take a look at the woke, we take a look at the, you know, the deep state, the, you know, society. When you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and Romans chapter 1, I mean, it's just like spot on. And it's never been, when, and it wasn't like that when those, and when that was written, but it is today. And so, with all the things that's happening out there, so I believe that we're very close to the Lord's return. So what do you think, Pastor Hal?
You're right. I'm looking for what's happening tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be good.
I know I'm in position. I'm ready. You know, if it does, amen. So, but, you know, it's seeing the Bidenomics and all that's happened and what I've been through and, you know, trying to build my business. And it's been just hectic. But, you know, I just keep believing and God keeps providing. I got to work for it. He makes me work for it. Amen to that.
Amen.
He keeps me close to the great vine pass, and walk us north near the great pass, as he says in the Bible, and I do every day. But you know, I just wanted your opinion on that, and I wanted to thank both of you, by the way, because you bring me inspiration when I leave work late every night, being a business owner. But y'all bring me inspiration, and thank you for what you do.
Well, thank you again, and we're very glad to do that, believe me. And boy, we appreciate that. We got to move on. Who do we have next out there?
We have Pastor Rick in Illinois.
Let's go out to Illinois. Pastor Rick in Illinois. Hey, Pastor Rick, you're in the air.
Hey, praise the Lord, Pastor. Can you guys hear me?
Sure, we can, loud and clear.
I just thank God for you. You have a great ministry. I have a few questions. I know time won't permit, but this is one of the questions I have. As a lad, I was made to learn. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, so much so that I got in trouble when I didn't say it in class. But my thing is, if Democrats and Republicans can't come together, it seems like we're divided to me. And then the Bible says, how can we stand if we're divided? So I guess my question is, will there ever be a time when we come together as one in America? Because if somebody attacks us now, I mean, I don't think we would win because we're too divided.
Well, you know, that's a good question. The house divided, like you said, can't stand. But the thing, I think it's not so much as it is, the greater division is not so much among Republicans and Democrats, it's among the saved and the lost, between the righteous and the unrighteous. That's where it is. You have a lot of people out there today that, you know, Jesus spoke about that in Matthew chapter 7, that, you know, they're kind of in between. They're not Christian, but they think that, you know, that their good works outweigh their bad works. Therefore, they think that they're pretty safe when it comes to, they have no idea that they'll hear those words, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you, okay? But you have those, you know, on what is called the far right. Matthew 25 speaks about those, the righteous, who, you know, those that are faithful, those that believe in the Lord. I have on my car, I have these bumper stickers. They're large ones, okay? And the car is the black car. And it's a large one. It's a Suburban that I drive, and the bumper stickers say, "If you died today, would you go to heaven or hell?" Well,
I'm familiar with.
When people see this today, it really upsets some people out there that you'll even. We were at the grocery store there, and woman saw that and got all upset. She didn't want her children reading that, okay? We're talking kids that are like 10, 12 years old, so, you know. The ideal of right. a hell, she didn't want them to have. This is, I think, where we're seeing that, Pastor Rick, is the battle between the saved and the lost. And will it ever be? No. No, we're never going to have the Prince of Peace until the Prince of Peace returns. Jesus said, I come not to bring peace, but to bring a sword, to turn father against son, mother against daughter. And it's not that that's what he wants, but the idea is that there are going to be those that receive him are going to be at odds of those that reject him. And I know that we have so many people I know whose family members are divided because of that one reason there. And we're seeing, like, the Church of Satan seems to be growing, and at the same time, the righteous are becoming more righteous, the wicked becoming more wicked. That's the way I see it. What do you see?
Well, I see the same thing. And I do believe that that's the truth. I mean, it is good and evil at war. But I'm just talking about American beliefs. And one of the other things I was going to ask, when will we see the indivisible with liberty and justice for all? Because I'm 65 and I haven't seen justice for all yet.
Indivisible with liberty and justice. Well, you know, I think for a short period in the very beginning of the nation, after the war, the Revolutionary War, America did come together after that long war, and it was indivisible with liberty and justice for a short period of that. But then, of course, that didn't last long, did it? So,
okay, Pastor, thank you.
Well, thank you. God bless, and thanks for calling. All right. Who do we have next out there? Okay. Pastor Hal, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we have I got to make a very quick announcements. One, the fellow we had here last night, Marcel Strebik, he is running for Secretary of State. He wants to bring America. He's a Christian man, and he wants to bring Ohio Secretary of State. You know what he actually wants? He wants to have legitimate voting. He wants to have it where you actually check it out. You actually go back to paper ballots, okay, where you can count and get rid of all these drop boxes and all of this stuff, okay? And so, and that's what a good Secretary of State would do, don't you think? And so he's going to be having his freedom fighters on Wednesday, a week from tomorrow, May 21st, they're going to be having a big meeting, and that's going to be Ohio Freedom Fighters at 7291 Stone Road in Medina, Ohio. And it says to enter off the back of the road. So they're looking to have a good crowds. And so they're going to kick off his campaign and his announcement there for Secretary of State of Ohio. And he's looking for a Christian, very, very conservative Christian patriots to come join. And speaking about conservative Christian patriots, here, the Tactical Civics, lawful, peaceful, and permanent, taking America back one county at a time. Do you think that there are too many criminals? Yeah, a whole lot of them in government, you know. In fact, today we have a whole lot of them wearing black robes in courtrooms, right? Do you think that there's not enough public servants in our government? Yeah, I think so. Do you think the criminals need consequences? Yeah. I'd like to see justice take place to the way that they treated our January 6th. I think everybody who was involved in that needs to go to that very same dirty jail that the Patriots were put in. Don't you guys think so?
Sure do.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Do you think that somebody should do something about it? Yes. If the answer is yes, join us to learn about the lawful, peaceful, permanent solution. Introduction to Tactical Civic Seminar, Friday, May 16th. That's this Friday. And also the following, on 2 weeks later, May 30th, for those in Northeast Ohio, at 7 p.m. at the Ransom Sage Farm, 505 Center Street, in Chardon, Ohio. Again, that's 7 p.m. Eastern Standard at Ransom Sage Farm, 505 Center Street in Chardon, Ohio. Pastor Hal, it's time for you to do your thing.
Well, you know, the good news is that Lord Jesus Christ is coming back soon, and if you're ready for him, you got a mansion waiting for you in heaven filled with more beauty, love, joy, peace than your mind can ever begin to imagine, and that's right in heaven. Plus, all the worlds and galaxies out there, he has things prepared for us that our minds couldn't even cope with. They're going to be so good. And the thing is, the way to be ready for that, to get out of this cesspool of a world and get into the glories of heaven, is by receiving the payment Jesus paid for you on Calvary's cross. You can't work your way there. If you lived a million lifetimes, you couldn't work your way to heaven, because one sin would keep you out of heaven. And we sin every day of our lives in thought, word, and deed. But what Jesus did on that cross, when he died, he said, "It is finished." That meant all the work necessary for our redemption has been accepted by God the Father in our behalf, so that when we come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting about our sins, which means repentance is admitting something to God he knows already anyway. So without Jesus in our hearts, we're a bunch of dirty, rotten, lousy, stinking sinners on our road to hell. But God don't want you to go to hell, so he's given you salvation as a free gift. That's why in Ephesians 2:8-9 he says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." There's not going to be anybody walk around heaven patting himself on the back and saying, "I got here because I was such a great person, helped old ladies cross the street, was a member of this church or that church." No, we're going to be giving Jesus the praise for getting us there, because it was his blood that washed away our sins and his Holy Spirit that came into our hearts and made us new creatures in Christ. The moment you come to Jesus and ask him to come into your heart as your Savior, he'll do that. But you got to come with faith, trust in him and him alone. John 14:6 says, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." John 1:12 said, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God." And Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That means if you believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to save your soul, and you ask him to come into your heart and give you that payment, he's going to do that. You see, Jesus was God in the flesh. In Christ was all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And when he died on that cross and shed his blood, that was a pure, perfect, sinless blood of God himself. And that's why it says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood," Ephesians 1:7. So right now, God hears me talking to you right now. He knows what's going through your heart and your mind right now. And right now, Jesus Christ is standing at the door of your heart, and he's knocking. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice," that means hear his word, "and open the door, I will come in." So right now, he's knocking at the door of your heart. He's not going to force his way in. He's not going to force you to get saved if you want to die and go to hell, trying to get there some other way, or just putting it off till some foolish time in the future when you think you're going to do it. Right now, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart, and the Bible says now is the day of your salvation. So don't put it off. Besides that, without Jesus in our hearts, we're like a bunch of walking dead people, physically alive, but spiritually dead. The Bible says Jesus came to give us life more abundantly. So if you want that more abundant life here, you want eternal life in heaven, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart right now, and all you got to do is, through prayer, ask him to come into your heart. And my job as a preacher is to lead people to Christ. And if you'd like to say a simple prayer together, I'll be glad to pray with you, and I'll lead you a few words at a time even. But even though we're praying together, it'd be directly between you and God, because only you can open up the door of your heart and let Jesus come in. So if you want to pray, let's pray, and you ask him to come into your heart, okay? Dear God, I confess unto you that I've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. And Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on that cross and shed your blood to transfer all my sin onto yourself, all my guilt, all my things I've ever done in disobedience, you paid for in full on that cross. And when you said it is finished, that means there's nothing I can do to add to it. I, right here, right now, Lord Jesus, ask you that I could receive that payment that you paid for me on that cross. I ask, Lord Jesus, right now that you come into my heart, forgive me of all my sin, and save my soul from hell. In Jesus' name, I pray this, and I thank you for it. Amen. And now, folks, in 1 John 5:13, the Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. That means that you received him as your Savior. Why? That you may know that you have eternal life. So to know it means more than just think it, wish it, or wonder about it. You don't have to do that anymore. You can know you have eternal life because God's made you a promise, and God cannot lie. And he says, for whosoever shall call upon him shall be saved. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, that means not just believing in your head, but you received him, has eternal life. John 3:15 even talks about you have an eternal life when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And now you have that light inside of you if you receive Jesus as your Savior, and you don't lose it once you have it. It's forever. Go ahead, Pastor.
Well, you know, again, as you say in that prayer, and everything you said is absolutely true, and I know it's absolutely true, but of course you and I were biblically literate, you know, at least to a degree. But there are people out there that just don't, they don't get it. They say, why should I believe that? And how do I know that? Well, first of all, there's two things. One, you have all of creation out there, folks. It came from someplace. Okay, all of this creation came from someplace. We were made in the image of someone, right? And the only explanation that is credible and that is absolutely speaks with absolute authority, no stuttering, you know, no theories, is God's Word, the Bible. It tells you exactly where we came from, you know, why we're here, and where we're going. I mean, and it does this with absolute, total authority. It's the only source. And then he tells you that the beginning of wisdom is the belief in God, that only a fool would not believe all evidence of his self-being, right? And so, anyhow, folks, that's why I'm telling you that God's Word is real. It's more real than anything that you can see, anything you can feel, anything you can touch. God's Word is real. And this is why when we give this, because at one point or another, and this will happen, there's absolutely no chance it won't, the time will come when God's Word is the only thing that will matter to you. Well, we're at that point. Thanks for being here tonight with us. Thanks for all your support out there, all you folks out there listening to us. And pray for us. We need your prayer. So until tomorrow, we want to say good night.
Good night.
We want to say God bless.
God.
And always, 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 ready? Keep fighting the fight. Fight. Fight.
Fight.
Fight. Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.